Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to begin. Just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. Today's the first quarter, or first Sunday of the third quarter. We change quarters today. So remember downstairs that we don't just change topics that we're studying. We're also changing classes for some. Because of it being August and the time when school moves up, this is the time that your children might change from one class to the other. So if they're going from the first and second grade class, if you have one that's leaving from there, and or the K through one, you're going into the second or third, or if they're in the fourth and fifth, and you've got one moving from fifth to sixth grade, today's the time that those classes will change. Also downstairs in all of the elementary from fifth grade and below, all those classes have some filing cabinets that are ready. So the teachers that have finished with your classes, just keep your material in there. And others, it might be 3 years from now when we go through this cycle again, your material will be there and it can help another teacher who may be teaching that same thing when seeing some of the skills that you did and some of the things that you did to help the children. So take advantage of those. And a good time to also mention, we're starting the third quarter today. In 3 months, Lord willing, we'll be here. We'll start our fourth quarter. And out in the foyer, there's several slots that are still open. So it's time to, if you haven't taught in a while, it's time to get back in the saddle. If you've had several months or quarters off, take advantage of that opportunity. You've got 3 months to prepare. The lessons are all, we've already got those outlines ready in the side room. You can have the whole 3 months to get ready for that fourth quarter. But we do encourage you to take advantage of those opportunities. I want to read one passage in Hebrews chapter 12 and kind of go from there. Look in verse 14. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let the weight of those verses kind of hang in the air for just a moment. Sounds pretty important, huh? Follow peace, without which we will not see the Lord. Verse 15. Look diligently, carefully, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. The truth is, in the world we live in, those bitter roots, they're everywhere. There's, oh man, we live in a bitter place. And those roots that spring up, those troubles that springs, they come from all manner of sources. And it's hard to get away from them. We live in a bitter place, and we live in a troublesome place, and it is just so easy, without us even recognizing it, to let that bitterness just kind of ease over into our life. And we let all those troubles just kind of shield us to the good things that God has done for us. And what happens is, we become bitter. And it comes through all these different realms. You watch the news and the news cycles come in and we see about crime and we see about suffering and then we see another wave of it and then we see another day of it and we just kind of... We see the way the business model works, the dog-eat-dog world, so to speak, where if you're not covetous and if you're not willing to maybe cross some lines in many places, there'll be no promotions. There'll be no elevating. Our culture, covetousness in business is seen as a positive. It's kind of sickening, isn't it? Whether you're a sports fan or a political fan or an entertainment fan, heroes across the spectrum will disappoint and let down. And just to make it personal with just our individual life, maybe sometimes the bills pile up and the health evades and just goes away. So we just put a big et cetera there. So many things that can lead to discouragement and a root of bitterness pops up and the root, it just starts spreading. Remember, if you've got your bulletin yet, you may have saw on the second page, I found a one sentence quote from Brother Moyer that I found in one of his articles. The world is angry and bitter. Don't be like the world. We have good news to share and do that instead. So what I want to talk about is that good news. The positive message in a bitter world. the good news you and I have when all those other things weigh in on us. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Kind of the verse we're going to bounce from and look for applications from. To set the stage, in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer is emphasizing the fact that Jesus is better than Moses. He was a better apostle. And he then, from that, transitioned into this section concerning the people Moses led, the Israelites that were in the wilderness, and how very few of them got to make it to the promised land because of their unbelief, because of their murmuring, because of their lack of faith. In chapter 4, in verse 2, it says, "Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." And at first reading, that can be a little bit confusing to us. Because what we start thinking is, wait a minute, how was the gospel preached to those in the wilderness? The gospel wasn't preached until Pentecost, thousands of years later. Well, that's the newer translation have corrected that. The idea in Hebrews 4:12, it's the definition of gospel. Unto us, as well as unto them, good news was preached. Now, does that open it up a little bit? The slaves in Egypt, the ones who were just being hounded under unmeetable quotas, did they have some good news preached to them? Boy, did they ever. Moses shows up. "I'm getting you out of here. The Lord has heard your prayers, and He's going to deliver you from bondage. He's going to take you to a land of milk and honey. The land of promise is in your future. God's taking you there. Slavery will end." Does that sound like good news to you? That's the point in Hebrews 4, verse 2. They had good news preached to them. But he starts it by saying, so do we. The gospel, the good news preached to us. And we are to preach it. We are to, this positive message of good news, we are to be all over that. It's a message of hope. It's a message of help. It's a message of strength. It's a message of joy. And God wants us to have all of that. We won't turn over a page or so, but we could. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about hope, the anchor to our soul. God wants us to have it. It's a positive message of hope. And it gives this idea. Can you imagine the ship in the middle of a terrible storm? And here's this anchor keeping it where it needs to be. And the interesting parallel that's being made is, you and I in this parable, me and you are the ship. Storms coming here, winds coming there, bitterness that we're having to overcome. And yet the image is, we're here and the anchor going all the way up into heaven. That's what keeps us stable. And hope is what does that. It's a message of peace. Philippians chapter 4 has this incredible phrase that the kids sing about sometimes. A peace that passes understanding. And I'm guessing at some point in your life you've experienced that. You've ever heard somebody maybe whose faith is not very strong? Maybe there's no faith at all, and they look at someone who's going through the ringer, and I just don't know how they're getting through it. I don't know how they're staying faithful through all of these issues. Their family's here, their health is there, they've lost this, but yet here they are. I don't understand it. That's right. It's a peace that passes understanding, and those who do not have it will not get it. But you get it. It's a gospel that preaches courage. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. When Moses died, one of the greatest leaders, he's in every top 10 in this room. You ever thought about Joshua? The leader that Moses was, the respect that he had garnished, and now he's dead and you're taking his place. First of all, you've got 2 million people that you're trying to lead. Second of all, you understand what's before you. There's a land to conquer, and conquer means there are battles. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Look in verse 7. Be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. And then look at the very last sentence in the first chapter. Last phrase of verse 18, be strong and of good courage. There is a positive message within the gospel of Christ. It is good news. And we need to be reminded of that, because sometimes all we hear about is bad news. You turn the TV on, you read the internet, you read the local newspaper, and it's bad things right after the other. And if we're not careful, we just get jaded. And that those roots of bitterness kind of pop up, and we begin to look through things, and we expect evil to control. And we forget a lot of things. So in the midst of all this negativity, in the midst of all this potential bitterness that can creep into us, let's remember some things. For those that are feeling tired and burdened, let's remember there is good news. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. There is good news for those who feel this. And that those burdens that we're talking about, we're burdened by sins, we're burdened by trials, we're burdened by tribulations, we're burdened by hardships, we're burdened. We're all dealing with different things. But there are burdensome things in our lives, every one of us. And there are things that you just get tired. And the old putting one foot in front of the other, sometimes that's harder than others. Chapter 11, just on your own when you get home. Interesting things are being said in Matthew 11. This is the chapter when John's disciples come to him, and he begins to, after telling them what they need to hear, he begins to teach about John. There are interesting things that happen. He begins to talk about cities. It would be better to be them than to be this generation if you reject. But all of that, the interesting thing about this chapter is all of it preceding an incredible invitation, an incredible bit of good news. Look at verse 28. Come unto me. So here's the invitation. All this chapter preceding is just leading to this. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Not most of you. I've got a little bit of room here if you get first in line. I have the answer to this, is the point he's making. Come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Look at the last phrase of verse 29. You will find rest. I will give it. You can find it. The point is, this is obtainable. This is not some utopian pie in the sky useless exercise. No, I have something to offer, and it is obtainable. It's findable. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Remember what yokes are. It was this basically a picture, a long piece of wood that would have been put on two oxen or two cattle that got them ready for the work. Take my yoke. The point being, what I have to offer, a lot better than what the Pharisees are offering you. Take my yoke, because my yoke is a whole lot better than what those scribes are offering you up at the synagogue. Take my yoke. The idea behind taking it means we're involved in this. There's no force. The ox, just be honest about it, the ox doesn't have a whole lot of choice whether you put a yoke on them or not. And the cows are going to go where you lead them. This is something we take. He's offered it. It's obtainable. But we have to do something about it. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Verse 30, my yoke is easy. Well, hang on just a second, because there's a lot of things in Scripture that doesn't sound very easy. Fighting temptation, when did that become easy? Overcoming lust of the flesh and of the eyes, when did that become? That's not what it's talking about. The Bible doesn't hide the fact that there is work to be done. And it's a narrow way, and few are going to find it. No, the Bible doesn't hide that. The idea behind it is, this: my yoke is easy. It means it fits. Could you imagine? Well, we'd have to imagine. Have you ever put some shoes on? Maybe you get some new shoes, and then you walk maybe a little bit farther than you should have, and you end up with a blister. You see, every step you take, it's just rubbing you. And it's rubbing you the wrong way. And it's rubbing you in the wrong places. And maybe that can happen with all type of stuff in our life. He said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. It fits. It doesn't rub you raw. It will not chaff you. It's not going to leave you. It's proper. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This service flowing out of love. Take my yoke. I have an answer to your tiredness. I have an answer to your burdens. A peace of mind when the uncertainties come. A peace of mind when the anxieties are there. We studied this very chapter last week. I want to look at the bookends around it. Does this sound familiar? Verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 1. In flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, obey not the good news. They will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. We talked about that last week. But look at the verses in front of it and after it. Drop back to verse 7. What prefaces this incredible statement of judgment? To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. You know what prefaces those verses about destruction and horror and separation of God? What prefaces it is this: my people don't have to go through that. I'm offering rest to those who are troubled. Look how it ends. Look in verse 10. What follows that incredible text on judgment and damnation and punishment? Verse 10, when He comes to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in those that believe. Yeah, there's a powerfully fearful verse about destruction there. It's prefaced by, my people shouldn't have to go through this. There is rest when this day comes. Verse 10, it's a glorious day to those who believe. And there's a lot of bitterness. And that bitterness leads to some weary thoughts. And that bitterness leads to some burdens. And that bitterness can lead to just, is it worth it? But there's an invitation. And there is glory to be had. And He says, troubles will cease when my Son comes back and takes His own. You see, there's good news, even in some bitter times. There's good news for those who feel tired and burdened. There's good news for those who feel guilty and abandoned and shut off. Sin can do that to us. It'll make us feel these things. Guilt can do incredible things. And we need it. It's an awful, hard, callous conscience that can't feel guilt. But Peter and Judas, they handled their guilt differently, did they not? If sin has been confronted, if we have dealt with sin in God's prescribed manner, then there is good news. And we have to accept, and we need to be aware of the wonderful blessings God's promised to those who've done that. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. He's already made the statement known. All have sinned and fall short. So He's not talking to people of perfection here. He's talking to people who've been forgiven. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified, found and declared not guilty. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into His grace. What do we mean? We feel shut off. What do we mean? We don't feel like He's accessible to us. If we've dealt with our sin the way He told us to deal with our sin, then we take confidence. There is justification. There is peace. There is access. There is joy, verse 2. There is hope, verse 2. There's good news, is the point. It's not our perfection. That's what this whole letter is trying to deal with. That was the Jews' problem, their own righteousness, and thinking their works was enough. It's not our perfection. It's what Jesus did for us. And it's the good news that God shared with us. And when you and I obey it, there is peace to be had, and there is justification to be had, and there is joy to be had, even in bad and bitter times. Look in chapter 8. He's not writing to those that are perfect. He's writing to those who, in chapter 7, are having the worries of, I'm struggling. I'm trying to do this, but I don't. I don't want to do this, but I do. I'm wretched. Is there any hope for me? Verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Have you done the things prescribed to be into Christ? Galatians chapter 3, first of all, just as a way of just launching this out, those that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you done the things to put Christ on? Are you in Him? Because if you are, and you've remained faithful to that commitment, there is now no condemnation. Satan can't point at you in judgment and say he's guilty, because Christ has declared us not guilty, and His blood makes that reality. There is good news. Turn to the 37th Psalm. Part of the reality is, I doubt there's a lesson ever preached or ever will be preached that a psalm wouldn't fit right into the midst of. We could probably find a psalm for every topic that's ever been spoken of. And here's an example of one. 37th Psalm is right. It's a psalm about those that are suffering. It's a psalm about people trying to figure it out because life is not treating them very well. So there's kind of some lamenting going on, and I guess to use a phrase me and you would be familiar with, maybe there's some complaining going on, and then there's the recognition. What am I doing? What am I thinking? Verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. What am I thinking? God's not going to forget His people. God's never forgotten His people. It's the psalmist coming to his senses. Verse 26, He is every day merciful and lends. Verse 28, the Lord loves judgment and does not forsake His saints. There is good news. There are bitter things and there are bitter times, and it makes us burdened. But there is an invitation and there is a yoke that can bring peace into our life. We live in bitter times, and because sometimes guilt sets in because we're weak. And maybe with that guilt comes these other feelings of unworthiness. I don't know if God hears my prayers. I don't know. God has made promises. He will justify those whom He said He would justify. He will extend mercy to those whom He wishes. He does not forget who is His. There's good news. If we'll just not let the bitterness blind us to that. There's good news for those that are tired and burned. Good news for those that are guilty and abandoned. There's an answer for that. There is good news to those who fear death. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. The older we get, the closer to this we get to. It's just the reality is, life is a precious thing. And the reality is, The act of dying is not something we can learn and experience. We just have to do it. You know, there are some things we can just learn as we go through them, and it gets easier the next time. Well, there is no next time with this. It's one and done. And none of us have gone through it. We've not experienced it. There's a part of it that just, there's going to be some anxiety because there's some unknown. And it's not possible for us to know until it happens. But with that being said, life is a precious thing. And with that being said, there is some anxiety because there's stuff we don't know about it. But it does not have to have power over us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We studied the part of this not very, very long ago, so hopefully this will fit in with some other verses that we looked at recently. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trump will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Now remember what we learned with the Thessalonians. The dead would rise first. Here's Paul telling the Corinthians the same thing. The dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Now he's talking about those who may still be here when that happens. Those that are not dead when it happens. It's the same thing he told the Thessalonians. The dead will rise first and then those that remain will be called up into the air. But we won't be called in this physical body. The mortal has to put on immortality, right? Verse 53. The corruptible must put on incorruption. Mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption and the mortals put on immortality, then will be brought to pass the saying, death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Yeah, there are parts about dying we're going to have to experience. But it doesn't have to control us. And that fear doesn't have to take our breath away. The grave doesn't win. Where is your victory? Verse 55. Where is your sting? You see, Jesus took that sting away when He died and resurrected and conquered death. The sting is gone. And that's good news. If we can just see it. Don't let the bitterness of this world blind us to these incredible things. There is good news. Turn back to Hebrews 4. Look at it. Sad. So sad. I guess we would say that this is the point of what we're doing today. So that this wouldn't have to be said of us. So that it doesn't have to be said of us. Hebrews chapter 4, read with me where we started. For unto us has the good news been preached, as well as unto them. Those in the wilderness, they had good news preached to them. Those in Egyptian bondage, they had good news preached to them. And the good news was, I'm getting you out of this. You're not going to be in bondage anymore. I'm releasing you. I'm giving you freedom. I'm going to lead you to a place of rest that I've got waiting for you. How's that sound to a slave? Sound pretty good, huh? For unto us was the good news preached as well as unto them. But the word preached to them did not profit. It was not mixed with faith by those that heard it. Those in Egypt, got some good news for you. Slavery's over. Bondage is over. There's a land of rest waiting for you. God's prepared it. And here we go. That was the good news. But this word did not profit them. Those who heard that message in Egypt died in the wilderness. 40 years of bones. 40 years of burials. 40 years of dying. There was a promise made to them and it was good news. They didn't get to taste it. There was a land of rest waiting for them. They didn't get to experience it. And it was because of a lack of faith. Good news that was blown. And that's what this is about. unto us was the good news preached as well as unto them. And they are our example so that we don't blow it too. What was the good news? Very same message. I'm going to deliver you out of bondage. Not brick making and not Egyptian stuff, but the bondage of sin. I'm going to get you out of bondage. I'm going to make you free. I have a land of rest waiting for you. Let's go. That's our good news. That's the good news preached to us. Well, they had the same message preached to them, and they lost it. And our invitation is to make sure that the same thing could never be said of us. Let's not waste this good news. Because there is hope for sinners. And there is good news because there is a fresh start that can be made right this second. There is encouragement. The word behind exhortation, definition, the idea of calling one aside for a word of encouragement. There's good news. Let's be encouraged by that. World of bitterness? Yeah. Burdens and troubles? Yeah. Do we sometimes have to deal with guilt? Yes. Let's just deal with it correctly. Because there's good news been promised to us. So let's take advantage of it. Get your songbooks out. Brother Morgan was exactly right. We live in a bitter place. But don't be bitter. The gospel is good news. And we behave differently. We see things differently. We handle things differently. There is good news. And we're not going to forget that. The good news is Jesus Christ shed His blood. And because of that blood, we can be forgiven of sins. Take advantage of it. Don't hear it. The ones in Egypt heard it. But it didn't benefit them. Let it benefit you by obeying it. For those of us that understand how Simon the sorcerer, a Christian who had lost fellowship with God, when we understand Acts chapter 8 and how he came back into fellowship with God, take advantage of that. Repentance is a powerful tool in God's eyes. And mercy is what He's willing to extend with it. And we can take advantage of that. That's good news. But don't blow it. Take advantage while we stand and sing.